Good morning. It's 7:32 and I'm driving down Church Hill outside my house in Glenmire in Cork, and I'm going to buy a pint of milk, or buy, you don't buy a pint anymore, but buy some milk for the breakfast and buy a few treats which I can give my daughter Omani Dot, going off to her last morning in senior infants at school before about 2 months summer holidays. Yesterday morning there was fierce flooding in Cork, and there was a lot of worry. We got away scot-free in our house. I mean, we didn't get any power cuts. We didn't get any water coming in. We didn't get any difficulties, really, ultimately, with traffic. Just a whole lot of uncertainty and worry for a while about what it would be like getting around the city. But I had some bad news yesterday morning, because I spoke to John McCarthy, the owner of Cafe Beva, which is, I mean, I live there a lot of the time. Spend so much time there, love the place so much, love the people who work there. And I spoke to him at a very bad time for him. He was in 2 feet of water. And I feel really bad myself now today, when I think back that I got through the whole day yesterday. I mean, I was had all sorts of reasons for doing what I did, but I got through the whole day yesterday without actually going down to Cafe Beva to see what conditions were like and dropping in to at least express moral support. So today I'm going to rectify it if I can, in the sense that I'm going to, instead of going to my local shop to buy the pint of milk, I'm going to go right down next to Cafe Beva, and I'm going to at least look and see what the state of the place is like. The road has been, not badly damaged, but the road has been damaged. The road between my house and Cafe Beva has been damaged. The edges of it are falling apart, and there's mud, and I mean, it's not a big scene, really. Everything is kind of looking all right. But I just feel worried, really. I mean, I feel for the man that, you know, to be under 2 feet of water, to have your business stopped and knocked backwards in the current climate, you know, to, instead of coming in and doing your normal day and looking after people, making those lovely sausages and lovely bacon and lovely scrambled egg and all those other nice things that they make there for breakfast and that good coffee and everything. Instead of doing all that in a kind of very normal way. Oh God, there's a lot of mud here on the ground. Very muddy here as I turn in towards Super Value. And the road has been, it looks, well, it's not washed away or anything like that, but it's not looking good. And I turn here, in here to, and I see a couple of big skips outside the pharmacy, First Plus, and the place looks like as if a storm has hit it. It's dirty, well, dirty, it would be. It's brown topsoil. And I'm pulling over outside. There's the bookmakers, the library, and there's the Chinese restaurant. And I'm kind of just looking at, in the door. I'm going to look in the door. I'm going to get out of the car and look in the door. I'll have to come back later on and see John himself. But it's, there's a mop outside, or inside I can see that the tables are, or the chairs are all stacked up. Things are moved around. You can see the mud inside. Well, it's the effect of the brown water. You know, and there won't be much drying in it today. Today's a kind of damp day. And the awning is, that goes out around outside is laid around, I see. I see equipment inside the window. I see the ice cream thing has been pushed out from the wall. I can see that generally looks kind of as if been a bit of not a very nice situation. I don't even feel like I should take a photograph of it, to be honest. As I was looking in the door of Cafe Beva,
I noticed that the butchers, Shane's butchers, were up, dressed in their uniform, and talking to a man. And I wandered over and I commiserated with him. And I had a look inside, and he showed me the incredible, well, it must be incredible hard work that they've done to sort out the floor in the butchers. I mean, it looks incredibly clean. It must have. He said that they cleaned it about five times yesterday and already cleaned it twice today. And they have the meat there, so it's ready for business. It's actually, you know, you can go in there and buy your meat today. But, you know, and he lost a cabinet. He lost one cabinet, because the water came up about, well, it looks to me more than 2 feet, but it came up, it just came up to a certain chrome bar, which, Super Value is shut, but that's nothing to do with the water. It has to do with, apparently it doesn't open till 8 o'clock, and I forgot. Now I better go back. Anyway, I'm glad I forgot. I thought I'd be able to buy stuff here. But yeah, so it was so touching to talk with him about it. And I didn't want to be taking out the iPhone and interviewing him. That just didn't feel like as if it was the right thing to do. But I did. He did explain to me that the water had come in and come up so far. He was lucky to keep most of his, all of his cabinets except one. And even the one that's damaged will be, he thought, fairly easy to repair. And the drains, and this is my point, the drains, really. I have this feeling. Now, I have no evidence about this, but I have a feeling, and he also had a feeling, that the drains haven't been cleaned. The drains haven't been kept free. The drains were blocked when the water came down, and that didn't help. That doesn't mean to say that if the drains had been cleaned, there would have been no problem, because there was so much silt flying around and debris that they'd have blocked up the drains, I suppose. But he said to me that, you know, there was no money to clear the drains. That's the way I feel about it. I feel that ever since, you know, the last couple of years in Cork, since we had the previous flooding, which is about 2 years ago, I suppose now, maybe 2.5 years ago, and that was a bad one. That, you know, we lost water in the city for about, in some places, for 10 days. When the dam over was water from the dam was released into the city, and it flooded into the, onto the streets. And that was much worse, actually, than this one, I think. But the whole thing is that our public priority is right. Politicians are elected in order to make decisions, and they have a hard job doing it, and their primary goal, I suspect, their primary goal is to get themselves re-elected. And you probably ain't going to get, they're going to say, well, I don't get re-elected by pressing strongly for keeping the drains clear, you know. So some city manager is left to determine what the priorities are themselves without political interference, really. And in the end, we get a... I've noticed it before. We get... Forget about all the heavy flooding and all that. In even any kind of a decent amount of rain, any kind of a decent deluge causes puddles of water on the side of the road. And that's a giveaway sign that the drains are not working. So then you get a really big flood like yesterday. And of course the drains don't work. But they weren't working before that. That's the point. They weren't working before that. That is what I believe. Now, I'd like to be contradicted, and I'd like somebody to tell me that I'm wrong. But I have discussed it with a few people, and nobody has yet said to me, actually, you're wrong, you know. They really do. They're shit hot in the drainage department, and they really do keep on top of things. Because, you see, I actually think that if the public department hasn't got the money for fixing the drains, that they should reveal that in public, and they should make it possible for citizens who have equipment sitting around, nothing to do, to actually join in the effort, and even if, you know, and clean the drains themselves. you know, if the public money can't afford it, it still should be done. It's too dangerous not to have the drains working.